at the fountain. Come, behold the crimson tide flowing down from Calvary's mountain, where the Prince of Glory died. Healing fountain, praise the Lord, it healeth me. There is healing at the fountain. Come and find it, weary soul. There your sicknesses were covered. Jesus waits to make you whole. Now and live, roll upon him all thy burden, joy and health he'll freely give. Oh, the fountain, blessed healing fountain, I am glad to swallow in free. Troubles great or small, Christ has made a full atonement and will gladly heal them all. Oh, the fountain, blessed healing fountain, I am glad to swallow in free.
And we continue to rejoice in that healing fountain. Spirit, soul, and body, it is effective. Let's turn this morning to the third book of 3 John. Just one little powerful chapter here. Verse 1. 3 John 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity or thy love before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. I want to speak for a little while this morning on God's prosperity. As we read in verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Several years ago, there was a message known as the prosperity message, which was widely published across this country and indeed probably throughout the world. The essence of that message was that if you will sow your seed faith, then God will return it to you manyfold. He will make you rich. We heard many reports in secular magazines and newspapers that people thought this is a way to climb out of poverty. This is the way to escape my present condition. Many people tried that premise. There were many reports of people that only got poorer, so to speak. The only reports of anyone getting richer were the ones who were publishing that prosperity message. People were also told that if you attained such riches, that would be a great testimony of your great faith in God. That would prove that you really know how to believe God. The entire message of prosperity is contradictory to sound doctrine. Paul denounced those who suppose that gain is godliness in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. In that same chapter, we also read that Paul said, the love of money is the root of all evil. Then there are a number of places throughout the Proverbs where Solomon speaks in regard to the desire for riches. And this is what we must understand today, is that we are talking about desire for riches, especially. In Proverbs 11:28, we read, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall. Proverbs 13:7, there is the man that maketh himself rich, yet has nothing. Proverbs 23:4 tells us, labor not to be rich. Proverbs 28:20, he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. And again in verse 22, he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye. I'll guarantee you that is not a complimentary statement. And so it is certainly hazardous for people to desire to be obsessed with simply getting rich. Today I want to speak on the prosperity that Gaius taught, or is taught by his example. Because this is God's prosperity, and he intends that we should be prosperous. There's no two ways about that. And so the first thing that we find about Gaius' example is the order of it. Notice in verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. In other words, Gaius' soul was already prospering, and we find that John wanted to see that on the outward. He wanted his health and his life to be prosperous. There's not a thing wrong with that. We find that is the order that God has laid down in the Scripture. I would point out first that John did not pray, or he did not tell Gaius, now because your soul is prospering so well, you need to give a little bit more in order that it can be manifest in this outward, that you become wealthy in body, so to speak. That's not what Jesus said. In Matthew 6:33, we read it this way, seek ye first. That means take care of your soul first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, that is the needs of the body that are listed there in Matthew 6, shall be added unto you. Paul likewise says this in 2 Corinthians 4:16, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man, the soul, is renewed day by day. Proverbs 30 and verse 8, think Solomon put it into perspective. He said this, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient, meaning that which is appointed by God for me. And then we find Deuteronomy 29:9 says it this way. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them. Why? That you may prosper in all that you do. Laying hold of truth is the way to prosperity. This is what God is teaching, and that is exactly what we find in Gaius' life. You will notice here in verse 1, we get a clue as to where John is coming from, the beloved elder, as he calls himself here. We find out that he says that whom I love in the truth. In other words, the truth was John's standard of reference. And then as we go on down, we find out that this man in verse 3, I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified to the truth that is in thee. This is what John saw when he said, your soul prospers. He indeed loved him in truth, according to the standard of truth, and he saw truth in him. It is quite evident that truth was found in Gaius. We find today that we understand truth that is in purpose in people by their own testimony. We know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When truth is real in the heart of a person, it comes out in his voice, comes out in his life. We know ourselves how that we just rejoice when we can sit down with other people of like precious faith and share those glorious things. It brings joy to our hearts. So there is no doubt at all that Gaius was a man who was willing to verbalize this glorious truth and the message that he had in his heart. And so he would speak truth to others. But notice further that Gaius walked in truth. That, of course, means that he walked according to the righteousness of God's word. This message was not just something he talked about. It is something that was reflected in a righteous walk of separation and godliness before God. But we also notice here that there are other manifestations of that. Was indeed righteousness, but notice in verse 5, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. He had an impact on the lives of other people, and I do not believe it was just in a matter of speaking the word to them or preaching to them or giving them some message. And I believe that this man was indeed, as we read here in verse 6, which have borne witness of thy love before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort. He was helping them as they would go from place to place. He helped them with the necessities of life. This is how his love, his charity, was manifested outwardly in his life. He walked according to divine love and was willing to give a helping hand to those that were round about him. Did it require money? More than likely did. Other provisions. I thought of Gaius' testimony as you read, I believe it's the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, where this man was willing to suffer persecution just because of his love for the truth and because he associated with Paul. In another place, things in Romans 16, Paul mentions that Gaius was his host. I think Gaius served as host for a lot of people. And that's what this means, is that indeed he was bringing them forward on their journey after a godly sort. I also want to notice another beautiful picture here and an order for us. It is important how we spend and how we give our money. In verse 4 or 5, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren. Being faithful and giving of our substance to the brethren, the body of Christ is our first responsibility. And then he says to the strangers. And the same thing prevails in our experience. There must be an order in our lives as to how we give, how we minister. It is all of divine love. Much of our world today is not really interested in anything you could give them insofar as the scriptures are concerned. We have had many, many people come here to the meeting and they were not even willing to stay and hear the service. All they wanted is a handout. Sometimes we felt led to give them that. Sometimes we simply didn't. But our attitude is important. An attitude of divine love and being prompted by the very power of the Holy Ghost. And so this man indeed walked in truth. And he was faithful to the brethren. John knew that Gaius' soul was prosperous because of these outward indications, because of what his love and the truth within him prompted him to do. These are indeed the virtues of divine love when we are able to give unto others, when we are able to help them on their journey, and indeed we must be willing to do exactly that. I want to notice that Paul also gives us instructions in the prosperity of the soul. Let us back up to the third chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians 3. This is a part of one of Paul's many prayers for the saints. And overall, we find that Paul prayed especially for the spiritual development and well-being of the people. As we have just seen in John, the elder, to my beloved children, that they also would walk in truth. He was interested more in the inner man, in the soul, than he was in the outward man. And this, of course, is exactly the pattern of the scripture. And so here in Ephesians 3, let's go down to verse 16, part of this prayer, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. We just finished the series of messages on riches, and this is a part of it, the glory of God. And this is God's measure as to how he is going to deal out those wonderful riches. It is according to the riches of the glory. But here's what he prayed for. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit, where? In the inner man. Paul is interested in the soul, to be strengthened in the soul, that the soul would be prosperous, exactly as it was in 1 John with Gaius. And then he becomes even more specific in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. We know that the moment a person believes, Christ has been implanted. The very life of deity has been planted within his heart. He is as saved as he will ever be. He is as free from hell that very moment as he will ever be. But I want to emphasize here, that's why Paul prays as he does. He's not praying that these people would be saved. They're already believers. They're already filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. He prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That doesn't happen the moment we believe. For Christ to dwell there means that he is not just a guest. He doesn't just drop by. He's not, you just don't make room and put him somewhere and accommodate him in some way. For Christ to dwell in our hearts by faith means that we must give him permission to take full control of this vessel. This is what it means by Christ dwelling there. He is the master. He is the controller. He is, of course, the life. This new man and he must be given absolute, full, and free reign in our lives and experiences. And so Paul says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And then he comes to that same wonderful attribute that John saw in Gaius, as we notice here, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And then may be able to comprehend with all saints. We surely do comprehend the love of God with others when we share the love of God with them. When we are motivated by divine love, whether it be in giving of our substance to them, sharing our substance, or any other thing. Not always in matter of money. Sometimes it's service. There are so many ways that God's people can be beneficial to one another, and we have seen it time again. And as John says, we rejoice in that. Gaius, I rejoice in what I see in your life. And so the same thing here is that God would have the love of Christ manifested in all of us, that we comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. That's a wonderful message all in itself, the love of God presented as a giant cube, in order that we understand the love of God in every experience, in every phase of our lives. But let us notice verse 19. And to know the love of Christ. Again, it is not knowing about the love of Christ. It is knowing it in depth by actual experience. Something that someone hadn't just told me about, but I have felt in my own life. That's what it means to know the love of Christ. And we know such love as it is shown to us by other people. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. And then the result, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the prosperity of the soul that John was talking about. That your soul prospered. This man had the fullness of God in his life. That's what John saw, is the fullness of Christ manifested in Gaius. And so I would that you would prosper, Gaius, even as your soul prospers. These characteristics are beautifully summed up in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. And verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. The soul is the seat of affection. Man is a threefold being, spirit, soul, and body. The spirit is the part of us that knows. The soul deals with our affections, our desires. And of course, our bodies manifest both of those outwardly. The soul is spoken of much in the Old Testament. And it speaks of longing of the soul, or the lust of the soul, the desire of the soul. This is what must be captured in the lives of people. Solomon warned us against there being too much of a desire for riches and wealth and all of this. This simply, as Paul said, the love of money is the root of all evil. And so the first thing that we must know and understand, we have said it again and again, people do what they want to do. We do things because we want to, not because we have to. This is why it's so important that our soul prosper, because If our soul is prospering, it means we are desirous of the right thing. This is what separates even God's people, those who desire the right things and those who do not. We must desire the right things. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Jesus said it this way, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst, what? After righteousness, for they shall be filled. This is the ones that will be satisfied. This is the ones that will be prosperous. And so we find here, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Do you know why many people are not satisfied today? Because they're going to the wrong place to find it. Men of the world are searching everything they can to find satisfaction in this world, and they are not going to achieve it. The only way that we can ever, the only way my soul will ever be satisfied is by seeking after these waters of God. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. It's the waters of God's Spirit. It's the waters of God's Word. Next, he that hath no money. These people who try to claim that you must give to God in order to get something is absolutely wrong. Never does God teach us to give that we might get. He doesn't do it. He tells us rather to come. We must. This is not an option. You have to come without money because you can't buy the blessings of God. So he that comes to the waters, come ye, he that hath no money, come you buy, and then eat. You buy it with your time. You buy it with your faith. You buy it when you simply believe God. And then eat. There are many who come into the glorious provisions of God. They hear the blessing, a banquet table set before them, even as we are doing here today. And yet they don't eat. It means to partake of it for yourself. It means to take it into your own being. We've all heard the stories before of people sitting in church and saying, boy, I sure hope Brother So-and-so heard that. I know he needs that. We need to eat it ourselves. It is for me, appropriated and take it into my own being. And he repeats, yea, come without, come by wine, the wine of the Holy Ghost, the milk of the Word of God, without money and without price. It means we must realize anything we receive from God is all of grace. We must understand. It's almost in the prosperity message like you bargain with God. Don't ever try that. We do not bargain with God. We come to God as needy people, just crying out for His mercy and of His grace. He doesn't owe us one thing. And so Isaiah gives us more instruction of how that our soul may prosper. Verse 2, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Men are searching every day and spending money for those things that do not satisfy. They find no fulfillment in it whatsoever. And your labor for that which satisfies not. Solomon said, don't you labor to be rich. That's the wrong path to go. And yet men are doing that constantly, and it doesn't satisfy. Here's how to do it. Hearken diligently unto me. This was Gaius' secret. The truth was in him. He had listened to the Lord. He had hearkened unto God. He had followed the ways of the Lord, that indeed he might be satisfied. And so hearken diligently unto me, and then once again, eat that which is good. In a practical manner, take it into our own being. Appropriate it for myself as though no one else were around. Eat that which is good. And the result? Let your soul delight itself in fatness or in prosperity. Only God's word is able to accomplish that. I want to close with a very familiar portion. Go down to verse 10. God emphasizes his word throughout this chapter. And so we read here, as the rain cometh down, and as the snow from heaven. This means that sometimes we just love those wonderful, smooth rains of refreshing that come down upon us. But the Word of God also includes some rather adverse times, the snow, the cold times. And that's just as much a part of the Word of God as is the other. So the snow comes from heaven and returns not thither. The snow and the rain don't just come down and just go back up to heaven without having any effect. Notice, the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth, it maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He said, this same analogy applies to my word. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, in the matter of our soul being built up, our soul being satisfied, our soul prospering, the same thing is true. There is but one thing that can satisfy our soul, and that is God's word. The word spoken will not return void. It has this effect. Gaius found that out, as we have seen. But I also want to notice this. Because, you see, John prayed that, Gaius, your health and your being would prosper, just as your soul already prospers. God's word will speak to us and speak the results as to how much natural prosperity we are to have. Whether we're talking about the prosperity of the soul, or whether we're talking about prosperity in money and natural riches, the word of God will determine it. It will not return void. If God speaks it, it will have its effect. And if God chooses to give us more natural riches, then nothing can stop that. His word will not return void. Some may say, well, I certainly wish you'd hurry up and do that. God has his purposes. God will sacrifice the natural in order to produce the spiritual every time. We have seen it over and over again in the lives of people, how their spiritual lives were often enriched as a direct result of going through some kind of privation. God's word will make that determination. And so whether it's prosperity outwardly or inwardly, let us remember exactly what God says here, that his word indeed will not return void, shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. This is the prosperity we're looking for in our lives today.